Well, we continue on in our sermon series through the book of Psalms. Today, looking at Psalm 6, as we just heard read, I've entitled my sermon, "The Lord Reigns as Creator, King, and Judge." Now, this summer, we have been working through the enthronement Psalms. If you recall, enthronement Psalms are defined as Psalms containing descriptive praise that call others to praise God precisely in light of God's lordship over history, over the nations, and over all creation. Enthronement Psalms celebrate the enthronement of the Lord as King, and they proceed to praise him for his majestic, mighty, and faithful reign. Psalm 96 is one of those psalms. Now, in preaching Psalm 93, a couple weeks ago, we considered the mantra, "The Lord reigns." And we saw that there was a need for us to get that truth into our hearts so that it trickles down into every thought, so that it flows through every feeling, so that it drains into every desire. And if you were here and recall, I gave some hypothetical examples. I'm afraid the diagnosis is cancer. The Lord reigns. We're going to have to let you go. The Lord reigns. It looks like our mortgage payment will go up. The Lord reigns. I don't love you anymore. The Lord reigns. We need to find a new pastor for our church plant. The Lord reigns. That mantra, that refrain occurs again in Psalm 96. And so that we don't become too used to hearing it over the course of this summer, I wanted to share with you, before I get into the text of Psalm 93, just how practical it is for us to anchor that declaration in our hearts. And I hope to encourage you with a text that I received a few days after delivering that sermon on Psalm 93. I have permission to share this heartbreaking, yet ultimately encouraging text with you. The message I received 5 days after delivering that sermon on Psalm 93, the text I received is as follows. "Jude, I wanted to share with my pastor that my brother Randy passed away overnight from a health issue. He was found this morning by a friend. This is a total shock. The police came to share the news. He and I were close. He was not a believer. Prayers are coveted as I share the news with my sister and mom today. The Lord reigns." I was so encouraged to receive that difficult text, because it brought home the fact that the reign of the Lord and that mantra, "The Lord reigns," is something we need for every day. And as we consider another enthronement psalm this morning, and another admonition to recognize and consider the reign of the Lord, I thought it important to remind all of us how significant and important this topic is to our lives. The main idea for Psalm 96, I would put this way: the Lord reigns as Creator, King, and Judge, and so we should praise him, proclaim him, and prepare for him. So let's begin with considering how the psalmist portrays the Lord as one who reigns as Creator, King, and Judge. Point number one, the Lord reigns. Now, as we consider again this morning the reign of the Lord, I think it is helpful that we understand the Lord's reign pertains to more than just his kingship, though it certainly pertains to that. As these enthronement psalms engage with the reign of God, they do so seeing God's reign as having not only to do with his kingly characteristics, but also characteristics that pertain to his reign as Creator and his reign as Judge. The display of God's glory is diverse. As one commentator notes, the glory of the Lord was displayed in the work of creation, in his kingship, and also in his acts of salvation and judgment. In verse 5, we are told, the Lord made the heavens. In verse 11 and 12, make reference to the earth, the sea and all that fills it, and the fields and everything in them, reminding us that God's reign includes that as creator. In verse 6, the royal attributes of splendor and majesty and strength and beauty are attributed to the presence of the Lord. The Lord is king, and he is kingly. And in verse 10, it is said of the Lord that he will judge the peoples. And then when he comes to judge the earth. The royal throne on which the Lord sits is a throne of judgment. Now, as we ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, as verse 7 admonishes us, and as we rejoice and wonder at our awesome God, we would do well this morning to remember that these attributes and characteristics of God that we find praiseworthy are very often the aspects and attributes of God that the world bristles at, that unbelievers reject. And this is a key difference between those who are God's people and those who are not. Jonathan Edwards, in a sermon I read this week, was differentiating between believers and unbelievers. And he noted that believers love those things that wicked men are most offended at, such as the sovereignty, the holiness, and the justice of God. If these aspects of God's sovereign reign are a source of frustration to you, or even consternation, perhaps you should pay particular close attention this morning to the message of Psalm 96. And with that in view, let me ask you a question. Do you love the fact that God is the sovereign king of the universe? Do you love that God reigns as creator of everything? Do you love that his rule includes him ruling as judge? And how you answer those questions may tell you a lot about the condition of your soul. It may even tell you whether you are in the faith or not. Now, having opened the meaning of the reign of the Lord to include these other roles and these other responsibilities of God, we will consider the rest of the psalm under the headings Praise Him, Proclaim Him, and Prepare Him. And the first thing the diverse glories of God's reign calls for is for us to praise him. Point number one, praise him. The psalmist calls God's people to praise him for who he is and for what he has done. Verses 1 and 2 are an emphatic call for praise. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. It's clear the psalmist desires for us to praise the Lord, and he desires for us to do so through singing. Now, there's much discussion in the commentaries about what exactly the new song God's people are to sing is. What is that new song we are to sing? And arriving at my answer to that question, I was helped by Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. It seems to me that the new song that the Lord put in the psalmist's mouth pertained to the most recent salvation that the Lord had worked for him. The Lord drew the psalmist up from the pit, and that was how he put a new song in his mouth. If God's steadfast love and God's mercies are new every morning, and they are according to Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, then there is a new song to sing. Every single day, there is a new song to sing in praise of God. And part of our personal worship, not just corporate worship, but part of our personal worship ought to be a review of all the current things that give us reason to praise God. And that's how we sing that new song. Now, in this psalm, we are not just called to praise God for the grace that he pours out on us, but we also to praise him because he is great. He is so great, in fact, that we are called to praise him greatly. We should praise him with awe and reverence, according to verse 4. His greatness surpasses the worthless idols of the peoples because he reigns in splendor, majesty, beauty, and strength. Verse 7 through 9 introduce another word for praise. We are admonished to ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. To ascribe is to recognize and to rejoice in and to relay to others. We are to recognize and rejoice in God's glory and in God's strength. And we are to relay that to others, and we do that in our congregational singing. However, the call to praise goes out to more than just God's covenant people. The families of the peoples are also to praise the Lord. The call to praise goes out to the whole earth, even all of creation. The psalmist says, let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. All of creation should praise the Lord. All of creation will praise the Lord. And the psalmist calls us to praise him. But not just praise him, we are also to proclaim him. Point number two, proclaim him. The psalmist's appeal that the Lord would be praised is not limited to those people who already believe in him. The praise to which the psalmist calls us contains a message. And that message is along the lines of the following. The wondrous works of God, including creation and salvation and judgment, have revealed that our Lord reigns as sovereign over all things, as their creator and as their king and as their judge. And Psalm 96 makes it clear that the message of our praise is to be proclaimed throughout the earth, so that all the other people we share this planet with might also praise God. Psalm 96 intends to keep mission prominent in the minds, first of all, of the Israelites in the time of the psalm's writing, but currently in our minds, mission. If you recall, Psalm 95 was very much focused on the people of God, very much limiting the exhortation to those who believe and follow the Lord. And by contrast, Psalm 96 calls all the earth to sing praises and has the nations and all the peoples in view. And it closes with a vision in which all of creation is caught up into the worship of the one who reigns. Now, in the opening verses of the psalm, coupled to our singing praises to the Lord is our telling of his salvation and declaring his glory among the nations. One commentator helpfully explains that our praise is to have the additional function of enhancing or enriching God's reputation in the world. Our praise is to enhance and enrich God's reputation in the world. And this proclamational exhortation is made explicit in verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. So we say in our own minds and our hearts, the Lord reigns. And we anchor that in our hearts. But it's not just for us. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Psalm 96 has been given to us as a missional anthem. And that missional anthem should correspond with our missional identity. And if our identity is to be a missional one, then I ask you the question, do you like the melody of Psalm 96? Does it resonate with you? Do you find this missional music intriguing? Is it a catchy tune? Does it stick with you? How often have you had the experience of hearing a song, maybe off the radio or maybe heard in a public setting in the background, maybe an elevator or a shopping mall? How often have you had the experience of hearing a song and having heard it, you cannot get it out of your mind? It's stuck there. It's stuck the whole day. You even catch yourself singing it. In the online and print magazine called Wired, a magazine that focuses on how emerging technologies affect culture, I read an article titled, "Why Songs Get Stuck in Your Head and How to Stop Them." Now, the article has to do with a phenomenon, it's a new word to me, a phenomenon called an earworm. That is what they call it when a particular song or part of a song gets lodged in your mind and you just can't get away from it. They call it an earworm. The article explains, according to a 2020 study of American college students, 97% experienced an earworm in the past month. Some tunes crawl into your mind even without any audible stimuli. Earworms are a universal phenomenon across many different ages and cultures, says Claire Arthur, an assistant professor at the Georgia Institute of Technology School of Music in Atlanta. But what distinguishes an earworm from any other memory that spontaneously pops into your head is that it recurs and repeats, often in a direct loop. You guys have been there, you know. Well, Spotify has a playlist specifically dedicated to earworm songs. What an evil thing to do. I looked at the list. It includes songs like Let It Go from the Disney movie Frozen, Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People, older songs like Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas. Many of you will have those songs in your head the rest of the day. You're welcome. Now, the earworm phenomenon is an interesting one, but oftentimes for us, it's an annoying one. Sometimes we wish that song would just get out of our heads, but brothers and sisters, the psalm called Psalm 96 is one that we need to have permanently earwormed in our minds. That's a sentence I never thought I'd say preaching. The song called Psalm 96 is one that we need to have permanently earwormed in our minds. We need to get this tune into our heads, and we need to do whatever we can to keep it there. We want to get to a place where we catch ourselves singing its message almost without thinking about it. Now, our motto at Westland Alliance Church is making known the greatness of God, and I often elaborate it by saying we are to be about making known the greatness of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. And I draw your attention to this because making known the graces of God, or making known the greatness of God, is one of the verses of this overarching song that Psalm 96 sings about. But the elaboration reminds us that we need to see and celebrate Christ. And as we see and celebrate Jesus in Psalm 96, we will see that that is the one of the ways we can facilitate the earworming of this song into our hearts, is to look to Jesus. And we've already considered this summer in other psalms that God the Son is the creator who rules and he is the king who reigns. But know also this, Jesus is the judge who will come. The Apostles' Creed, the one that the children are learning and memorizing, in speaking of Jesus, declares, "He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead." And the Apostles' Creed says this because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, Paul instructs Timothy saying, "I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, And this is confirmation of Jesus' words in John 5:22. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. So brothers and sisters, we see that the tune of Psalm 96 is nothing more or less than the very gospel of Jesus Christ. The musical message of Psalm 96 that we are to sing is the very message that sets the captive free. It's the message that proclaims forgiveness of sins. It's the message that declares reconciliation with God and adoption into his family. That message is a song that proclaims the promise of everlasting life with God for any person who will turn from their sins and turn to God in faith by believing in Jesus Christ. Believing who he was, the very Son of God, and believing what he did. He died on the cross for his people and he rose from the dead in power. If you're here this morning, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you need to get that song stuck in your head. You need to get it lodged there through constant singing of it. You need to get it stuck in there through preaching it to yourself. We need it bouncing around in our heads because we have decided to see everything through the lens of Jesus Christ died and risen. Let's study it. Let's memorize it. Let's recite it. Let's sing it. Let's chant it. Let's read it and let's reread it. Let's be able to say with Paul, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. We need this gospel tune earwormed into our minds and our hearts, such that we cannot help but declare it to our families and proclaim it to our neighbors and pronounce it to a lost world who needs the message desperately. Brothers and sisters, that is why, as Ron prayed, that is why we have missionaries who have gone out from us. They've gone out to proclaim Christ in Africa, in Asia, in Europe. That is why we send young people to Peru. That is why we intend to plant a church globally, even as we have done so locally. We must continue to proclaim the message of salvation to a dying world. Psalm 96 demands it. Brothers and sisters, our world desperately needs this message. Because as Psalm 96 makes clear, part of the message is that the sovereign King of the universe is coming back to judge. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. And that's where we'll finish this morning. Prepare for him. God will reign as judge through his Son, Jesus Christ. The repetition of the word judge in the 13th verse is an indication that this is a sure thing. Part of God's reign is his reign as judge. His judgment, considered in light of Psalm 96, has at least three components. God judges to punish the wicked, God judges to vindicate his people, and God judges to secure his absolute reign forever and ever. Seeing the Lord as judge is why Psalm 96 exhorts all peoples that the Lord is to be feared above all other gods, and why all the earth must tremble before him. But for those who believe in Jesus, to those who have submitted to his reign through faith alone, to them, the coming judge should fill your hearts with adoration and with anticipation. We should love the truth that Paul proclaims in Acts 17, verse 30 through 31. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And on this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now, because of our 21st century North American sentiments, we may recoil at the idea of praising God because he's coming to judge. And yet Psalm 96 corrects us. We would do well to subject our sensibilities to Scripture. Now, in making that clear, I'm going to finish this morning by reading from the book of Revelation, a passage in which we come to understand that the coming of Christ the King will elicit our praise. And part of that praise is for his glorious and awesome work of judgment. Revelation 19, verses 6 through 16. Revelation 19, 6 through 16. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saint." And the angel said to me, "Write this, 'Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So see here that the people of God are participating in praise and worship of God. And even when John bows down before an angel to worship him, the angel says, "No, worship God." And then John sees why. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, 'King of Kings and Lord of Lords.'" All people should prepare for the return of the King, a return which will see Jesus come as the sovereign judge. In closing, the Lord reigns as Creator, King, and Judge. And so we should praise him, knowing that he exists in splendor and majesty and strength and beauty. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us bless his name. And let us place the glory and the strength of the Lord so much in our view that we get the new song of Christ's salvation trapped in our mind and stuck in our mouth, that we might proclaim his salvation from day to day, that we might declare his glory among the nations. Let us proclaim the greatness of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us do so that we and others might prepare for him, because he will return. He will return in a glorious fulfillment of our anticipation and in glorious power in the midst of our adoration. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We would ask you by your Spirit to help us apply Psalm 96 to our lives. Help us, Father God, to heed the call to praise you, as the sovereign ruler of the universe, as the royal creator and king and judge. Help us to see Christ as the fulfillment of all those things. And help us to proclaim this great truth. Help us to proclaim it to our family members. Help us to proclaim it to those we work with and go to school with, to our neighbors. Help us proclaim it to the end of the earth by your Spirit, I pray. And help each one to prepare for your return. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.